worship theme for these months is when God does something new. We have been in the book of Isaiah, which is one of the most beautiful books in our scripture, for several Sundays now. We're going to transition into the next book, which is Jeremiah, another prophet. And our text is Jeremiah 31, 21 to 25. I do not think that is the proper text. Did I give you the wrong one?
Yeah.
1 second. You might need to use your Bibles. I'm sure you know what they look like. There's some in the pew rack there in front of you. Jeremiah 31. We will be in Jeremiah 31, 21 to 25. And they go like this. Set up road signs. Put up guideposts. Take note of the highway, the road that you take. Return, O virgin Israel. Return to your towns. How long will you wander, O unfaithful daughter? The Lord will create a new thing on earth. A woman will surround a man. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. When I bring them back from captivity, the people in the land of Judah and in the towns will once again use these words. The Lord bless you, O righteous dwelling, O sacred mountain. People will live together in Judah and all its towns, farmers and those who move about with their flocks. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. Let us pray together. O Lord, your God, our God, you say you're going to do a new thing, and we entrust ourselves, our church, our attentions, our energies to listening to you. What will you do new, Lord? May it not be our efforts that bring this about, but the mighty moving of your Spirit in our midst. We thirst for you, Lord. We wait for you to do something new in our midst. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We live in an amazing world, don't we? A fast-paced world full of all kinds of change. Last week, I talked about one new technological innovation that is coming to a road near you very soon. You remember what that was?
Cars.
Driverless cars, okay? Hard for me to get my mind around those, especially on a day like today. Wonder if they will recognize a Hagar truck and slow down or something. Anyway, there is one technological innovation that I love. I don't necessarily understand it, but I use it and I like it, and that is video calls. I like that, where you can get on your smartphone or on your computer and actually talk to somebody far away. I have talked to people on the mission field on just about every continent. In Africa, in China, just last week I was talking to somebody in Bogota, Colombia. It's just amazing to be able to talk to somebody in real time. And it reminds me of that amazing cartoon show from the early 1960s, The Jetsons. Do you remember that? What was the husband's name?
George.
And the wife's name?
Judy.
George and Judy. And sometimes they would talk to each other on these video screens. Who would have known in the 1960s? 60 years ago? 50 or 60 years ago that would actually come true. And you can do that on your smartphone. It's just amazing. And I guess the reason that I love it so much is not for the entertainment or the fun, but because I can talk to my daughters who are far away. Got one right now in Central Europe and another one down in Central Pennsylvania, and I can talk to them, and it's just like they're right there, almost in real time. We can talk. Speaking of time, we've got to coordinate that because it's not 11 o'clock in Central Europe. it is in central Pennsylvania. We've got to think through the time zone things. You've got a daughter in Africa, right? So do you do video conferencing sometimes? Yeah, it's just, I love it. I love it. And it's because it gives you a sense of home. It pulls that family together, right? Sometimes my daughters will say, Daddy, I miss you, and I quickly change the subject because I don't even want to go there. The reason that I think this text is so captivating and I've chosen it today is because it seems that God is saying to us one of the things that he's going to do in that will be new in the earth is to return people to freedom, to return them home. He says in verses 22 and 23 there, the Lord will create a new thing on earth. And then skipping to verse 23, I will bring them back from captivity. You see, at the time that the prophet spoke these words from God, the Israelite people, the Hebrews, were being taken out of Judea and taken all the way to Babylon. They were saying goodbye to their homes, and they were being led away as slaves. Who knew if they would ever even be home again? And God says to them, yeah, I will do this. I will bring you back home. I will bring you home from captivity. These are promise words. We talked about some of those promise words last week when God says, I will. That means he is engaging himself. He is pulling all his power to bear on this, and he's saying, I will bring you home. When God does something new, people, he brings us home. When God does something new, people come home because that's where they're supposed to be. You know that. I know that. Perhaps you have a son or a daughter who's you wish they'd come home. They're out there living somewhere, maybe not giving you the time of day, living a lifestyle that you don't approve of, and God says, I'm going to bring my people back home. We know that's right, and that's the way it's supposed to be. So we're going to look at this text today to see what it's like when God does something new. What happens? When God brings people home, they are blessed. When God brings people home, they are free. When God brings people home, they are fed. So you come home and be blessed. It is a blessing to be home, isn't it? It's supposed to be. There's always so much energy that goes on when you come home. There's so much energy in the one that is at home and the one who has just come home, right? There are so many commercials now on TV about people coming home. Or segments on news about some soldier that comes back and surprises his family. That's because they are used in commercials because that gets at our heartstrings. And we think maybe we ought to buy that product too. Because this is so cool. This is so wonderful. Okay? And there's all this energy that comes out when you come home. I bet when you go home, sometimes you offer to do things that maybe normally you wouldn't even want to do. You might offer to get out in the garden, work a little bit, or to rake some leaves, or to cook a meal, to mow the lawn. We have this energy, and that is because it is such a blessing to be home, and we want to bless other people. So notice how God says there in verse 23, that when he brings his people back from captivity, they are going to speak a blessing. And it says there in verse 23, the Lord bless you, you prosperous city, you sacred mountain. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. This is a benediction. The people of God are speaking a benediction out into their city, out into their families, into their communities. The Lord bless you. Very interestingly, only two chapters before this, in Jeremiah 29, God also says for them to speak this benediction into Babylon, evil Babylon, enemy Babylon that has just led them away to captivity. Now, put this verse on the back side of your bulletin there. It has always blown me away. Jeremiah 29:7. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. What? God, you brought us here. We're languishing here. We're slaves here. And you want us to seek the blessing of these people? How could this possibly be? This is because, I've said it before and I'll say it again, God is a God of blessing. That's what he wants for the entire world and for all people. And if you're going to take that name upon yourself, if you're going to say, I will live for God, then you've got to speak that blessing back out into your community as well, wherever that be. And that's the whole point of this County Conversation series that we're having. It's just to say, people, community, we're here, we want to bless you. Be that with just a nice evening out in the cold, dark winter, or be that with information that you can use in your families. That's what this is all about. So please pray for these. And please invite people to these. And remember, like I said last Sunday, these are not good deeds that we're trying to do. What did I challenge you to do last Sunday? These are what deeds? Kingdom deeds, right? I mean, anybody, any kind of group is going to organize events that are good and fun to go to, right? The reason that we are doing it is because we believe our God is a God of blessing, and we speak that blessing out into the community. And if somebody were to ask you, why did you organize this thing? What is this all? Why? This church hasn't done anything like this before. It's just because we believe God wants to bless our community. Say that to them. And we want to bless you. Oh, okay. So that's what the point is of all of these things. It's not busy work, okay? Our God is a God of blessing, and we want to bless others. And even if you don't come out on an evening and come to these things, which is fine, we'd rather have the community come. Somehow, some way, you need to discover how you can be a blessing to your neighbors, to the people down the road, to the people that you meet in Hannaford's or Yellow Front. Remember, we talked last week about how God does something new. He answers the Lord's Prayer. And my faith, my belief is that God wants to answer that Lord's Prayer today and Monday, February 5th, and all the days through us, that we are that answered prayer in our community. So come home, people. Be blessed. Be a blessing to others. Come home and be free. You know, one of the fun things about going home is that you can be yourself, right? You're supposed to be. You can go home and put on that ratty pair of pajamas and watch the game tonight. Because you're home. You can wear whatever you want to, right? You're at home. You can eat whatever you want to, as long as the doctor doesn't find out. You can dress whatever way you want to. You can keep house or not keep house the way you want to, because you're home, you're free. You've probably heard this saying, a man's home is his castle. See, you know this. This is a part of our culture. Those words are based on a statement by Cicero, who lived scores of years before our Lord Jesus Christ, and he said this, what is more sacred? What is more strongly guarded by every holy feeling than a man's home? Home is just so important. It's sacred. We guard that because this is where we're supposed to be. And the scripture says when God is doing something new, he brings his people home. He will bring them out of captivity. And he's saying to his people there, you're in Babylon today, but there's a day coming in the future. And it came. When I will bring you out of Babylon and will bring you home. I want to say this to you. I don't think that God wants anybody enslaved to anything in any way. It is just not his will. He wants people to be free. Jesus, the first time he opened his mouth in public and gave his first sermon, it's recorded for us in Luke 4, this is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. That's how Jesus defined his own ministry. And captivity, enslavement, idolatry, whatever that is not part of his will. A refugee on the run, not his best for that person. Human trafficking, the very opposite of what God wants for anyone. Addictions, not God's will. And speaking of addictions, there are plenty around, aren't they? In all the churches that I've pastored, they rear their ugly head. In many families, including my own, addictions rule some of my family members. Even in my own heart, I think I can confess my own addictions. I sometimes even wonder, let me know if you agree with this, if we are all addicted to something, somewhere, somehow. It just seems to be the very fabric of how we are made as human beings. It's just a part of who we are to be addicted to something, and it is not God's will for us. How do you know that, Pastor? How do you know that, Pastor? How's it going to happen, Pastor? That I don't know either. But I'm going to challenge you to find somebody who's addicted and to pray for them. They need our prayer support. Pray for somebody in our community or in your family to be set free. You might even want to come forward at the end of the service. We have a special prayer ministry at the end of each service. And today it's going to be Patty who will be down front here. And just pray about this person. But you take them home with you and pray for them too on Mondays and Fridays and other days of the week as well. Because we know it is not God's will for that addiction to hold that heart captive. And you can pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So come home and be blessed. Be a blessing. Come home and be free. Come home and be fed as well, right? To be fed is one of the most wonderful things that happens at home. And often when our daughters come home or something, we'll ask, what do you want Daddy or Mommy to cook for you? And often for me, it's a stir fry that I do that they love. Or if I'm going home, Stan, what do you want to cook? And for me, it's got to be biscuits and sausage gravy. Maybe you've never had it. If you have, can you just shake your head that you know what biscuits and gravy is? I love biscuits and gravy. Not good for you, but biscuits and sausage gravy. It's got to be sausage gravy. Anyway. And it looks like we've got a meal spread before us here, and there is a meal in our text. If you look at verse 25 there in front of you, God says, I will refresh the weary. I will satisfy the faint. Those seem to me to be the two key parts of any good meal. Now, there are many ways to give refreshment and to give satisfaction, but what we have here is refreshment, something to drink. What we have here is something to eat as well. So we will gather at this table very, very soon, won't we? And we will find here food for freedom. Because Jesus says, this is my body broken for you, that the power of sin might be broken over you. This is my blood, drink it, and your sins will be washed away. So those times when we do choose to be bound and do commit those sins, he says, I will wash that away. Come home and have a good meal. Jesus wants you to come home, right? He wants you to become a blessing to others. He wants to turn you loose in our community. That you can be a blessing. He wants you to be free of any addiction, any trauma that you have, and he's calling you home for that. He wants you to come home and be fed and to know that all those sins have been conquered in your life and all those sins have been forgiven. Let's prepare to meet ourselves, meet him at his table by singing together softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. What is he calling out? Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Please stand and we'll sing together 389 in blue.